Hi, welcome. Good morning, everybody. Hope we're all feeling okay today. Not too sore from last night, but anything is possible. So today we are kicking things off with Dan. Please make sure that you've got your cell phone on silent and or I guess at the very least on vibrate, and that way we are not interrupting other people. So I'm going to pass it over to Dan Jacobson for address and street name grids in the Philippines. If you have questions, feel free to put them in Venulus as we go, or you can ask them out loud live at the end of Dan's presentation. Give it up for Dan.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Jacobson, and here we go. So, do we have address grids in Manila? Yes, we do. And here I've made a contour map of these. And let's give a little proof here. Here in the lower right corner, we see 2062 on a very short street. Now, how could a number get so high on a very short street? Well, it's because it's part of a grid. And that means parallel streets have parallel addressing. So they're all related. And I even made a contour map of these, proving that there's grids in Manila. And this is just one of the axes. There's another axis, but I didn't do it for simplification. So. And here we are back in America, and there's the grids in action here. The 800 block starts at this line, and all the houses are in the 800s, and then 700 below that. So that's the standard familiar grid if you grew up in the United States. And we have ordinances to control these grids. For instance, Quezon City says that all the house numbers must start at number one. So that is very unfortunate because Quezon City cannot use a grid. Unlike Manila, in Manila we saw that is a little short street, is already up in the 2000s. But in Quezon City, it's not allowed to do that. So that little short street just would number from one, and it threw away the opportunity to use a grid so the streets could not be coordinated with each other. So now we're back in the United States, and here's how the grids are defined with ordinances. As you can see, they had a big problem long ago, so they had to redo their system and make a grid. And they define it very clearly. It's tied to the public land, a PLSS system in the United States. That's how they tie their grid to the land survey. But in places like Philippines, there is no such grid, so we would just define it using an azimuth and an origin and a numbers per kilometer. So there they are defining their grid in Highland Park, Illinois, and they even say how many houses per feet, how many numbers per feet. And here's you won't see this in the Philippines. In fact, I did go to the Manila City Hall and went to Makati City Hall asking about this, but as you can expect, nobody really knows how it occurred. But so over here in America, we walk in the fire department and we see the grid right there on the wall. That's the grid that's controlling all the house numbers. Now for our map, now I grew up in the United States, and we take a paper map, unfold it, and there's those little red numbers. That's the address grid, and that gives a very powerful tool that we can use, and it's part of paper maps, but now we have electronic maps, and nobody remembered to put that grid on the map. So I was hoping that we can get it back on the map for like when rendering OpenStreetMap, but we don't have that data existing in the OpenStreetMap database. Okay, And this is just a very standard feature of paper maps, but now it's gone in electronic maps, a step backward. So, okay. And here we have another paper map, and there's the grid expressed in a different way with these little grid ticks. And it controls the whole numbers of all the houses, and it's a very powerful tool for people looking at a map. And it's much better than those little ranges and the individual house numbers. You can see the whole system, can memorize it at a glance, and then you don't need your cell phone anymore because you know how it's all logically or the origin of it. So now we are back in the Philippines, and we're looking at Sukat Road, which is called A. Santos Avenue now in Parañaque. So how did those numbers get so high? It's just a few kilometers of Sukat Road, and the numbers are already in the 8,000s. What a mystery. So one possibility is there's an underlying grid, and that road is cutting it at such an oblique angle or acute angle that the numbers don't increase that much. But I think it somehow must do with an origin starting way back in Manila, and then when it gets down to Parañaque, it's already in the 8,000s. But of course, people in Parañaque City Hall don't have any answers to this. Okay, here we are in Sampaloc, and this is a very, very nice grid system. In other words, when we're walking along and we cross España Boulevard and the numbers are in the 900 block, and we keep on walking no matter what street we're walking along, when we cross Florentino, the house numbers are in the 1,000. So there's another grid right there in Manila. However, on OpenStreetMap, we're unable to express it in such a clear fashion. All the renderings of OpenStreetMap data, the most you can do is just have individual houses or house ranges. So we need a way to be able to express the whole grid so people can see it like this, like they could in those paper maps. And here I have designed a grid for UP Diliman, which does not have a grid. You see, UP Diliman, when you say where the address of a building is, the best you can do is just give us a street corner, two corners. That's okay, but one day when you want to implement the E911 emergency system, you have to give an exact address. So I just designed one for you guys, and I used the origin as an oblation monument, but I did not use 0 and 0 for the X and Y axis. I gave it a false easting of 2,500 and a false northing of 7,500, enabling you to make full use of those four digits, and you can expand in all directions, and you have no confusion of North 53 North 2nd Street or something. So the best way to do it. Now, of course, I don't think they're gonna ever use this, but I did send them an email. And actually, that X and Y grid, we can express it in a different way. Instead of two axes, just one axis, and we fold it. So I don't have an X and Y axis. I just have one axis, and I folded it. So we can analyze it like that, 5,000, 5,000. So, and that's the grid. And so now we are in Makati. And in Makati, this very curious organization of addresses. What's going on here? We're going up one street and the numbers are going up higher. Going down the next street and the numbers are going down lower. So what is it? Why are they already in 2800? So keep on analyzing in Makati. Aha, I figured it out. Nobody else figured out. Okay, so, and here it is. It's going around and around, back and forth, getting higher and higher, And it, let's go back to that previous slide. You couldn't tell that just looking at it unless you thought real long and hard. That's what it is. It's looping back and forth. So actually, they have a, there's an official name for this kind of system. It's called a Boustrophedon. And this is actually seen very often in the United States for the public land survey system, PLSS, which underlies the entire grid of the central and western United States for the section numbers that go from 1 to 36, looping back and forth. And in Canada, too, but they loop in a different direction. So if you ever look at the border of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, you wonder why those little jogs are there. It's all underlined by a Boustrophedon system. Okay, so I'm headed back to Makati City Hall. I want to answer. And I think they did this for each bar and guy. But they had a big argument. Here we are in the newspaper, and they wanted to fix it, and they have an ordinance, but somehow, and do they really need to fix it? I mean, I don't think they can do anything better, because this Makati doesn't really have a very large grid pattern, so it's probably not worth it to mess with it at all. That's my personal recommendation. Don't mess with it. So. And then we're analyzing Makati, and we find it's probably unique per barangay. I'm still working on it, but it's a very interesting little question. Okay, and now here we are in Taguig. What a disaster. It could have asked some school kids to make. So it's six, let's see what it is now. Okay, 6th Avenue, 6th Avenue is 4th Street, and 9th Avenue is 6th Street, and 10th Avenue is 7th Street. And it's like, now, is it worth fixing it? Probably not. Just leave it around as an example. How would we do this better? Well, we could, but don't want to mess with it. Okay, so now where are we going to learn about how to do these things correctly? They don't teach it in school. They don't teach it in your urban city planning courses. They just never get around to teaching addressing. They really don't. I bet you in this UP Daily Man, there's no class. They're going to tell you how high the ceiling should be and how large the windows and how many meters the street should be wide, but they're not going to tell you about how to number those houses, I'm pretty sure. So where can we find it? Well, the American Society of Planning Officials, they really did do some work on how to do this stuff. And here's their, it says zoning, but it also includes numbers. And here we are, see a street sign. 18th Street is 1800 South. So that's a smart way to, and in fact, today at noon, I'm going to give a little 5-minute lightning talk about my world's best system that I personally designed to do this stuff for, but for rectangular cities only. For other types of cities, I don't have any answers. So, okay, so how are we going to put this into OpenStreetMap? Well, we're going to define the value 1800 on every street tag. So like we have a way 18th Street. Are we going to put 1800 into that ways tag? No, because that way, if we did that, we have to put in 1900 for 19th Street and 8th. So we have to make a lot of work for no reason, because each city's grid is a real grid, which would have an origin and a scale and an azimuth, and these should all be in just one node, which is the node for that whole city or for that whole township or whatever that's controlling that grid. So you don't want to just one little node, and then you could get the definition of the grid, and then you could put them on maps. because it will be in the database. Or maybe I should do this via Wikidata and not bother with OpenStreetMap, because but maybe the people in OpenStreetMap will see the value of having a grid. I mean, we have one-way streets in OpenStreetMap, so that's some extra information. So why not a grid of us cities? And they were on paper maps. So okay, now we are back in Taguig, and we're looking at OpenStreetMap, and somebody has called the streets block 10, block 20. I don't think the streets are actually named like that. I think that's referring to the houses, the blocks in between. So I think it looks like a mistake here. Now, also, if you look at the order of the blocks, it seems in some order, but it's not in a good order. So how would I order it? I would just start in the middle, like 55, and then I would have a lot of room to expand it. I wouldn't do it sequentially. So it's, yeah. And now we are in Manila South Cemetery, and I don't know if anybody lives there. Not sure. You never know. Okay, so, and actually it's a perfect system. It's mainly non-overlapping street names. Okay, B, C, D is all the way to J, and then M and L is in this other direction. So it's very important that the streets don't overlap, and that allows us to not worry about if it's an avenue or a street. And then we can analyze this whole thing into something like this, with the A of one axis far away and the A of the other axis very nearby. And we can say that we're not even using an X and Y grid anymore. We're just using a single folded axis, which has really blows the minds of mathematicians. Okay, now we're in Pasay, but there's a problem. Yes, it's true that what should be 12th Street is not exactly where the halfway between 10 and 14, but there's another problem is they're using odd numbers for northwest, southeast streets, and even numbers for the other ones. But there's a problem is how could you ever fit an addressing system onto that? Because you're jumping 200 per block, and our usual blocks are 100. So that's, you might think, oh, it's real smart. We'll just use odd numbers for one direction, even numbers the other. And in fact, that's what they do in a lot of Latin America. But then how are you going to make an address system that fits onto that? You're not. You're just going to end up having independent system like where? Like San Francisco or New York City, where you have 26th Street, but it should be the 2600 block, but sorry, they blew it. And same with New York City. Okay, now we're in Calaocan. And Calaocan looks pretty smart. 8th Avenue, 7th Street. But the problem is when you're calling the cops with an emergency, what if you mess up? I mean, 7th Avenue and 8th Street. I mean, 7th Street and 8th Avenue. So how are we going to separate these systems? Well, I just added 70 to these, and now they're a separate system. That, of course, I wouldn't do that in real life because I probably 2 minutes. Oh, okay. I thought it was 5 minutes. Okay, so anyway, here we are. These people are complaining about this system. So now we're off to BGC. BGC did it really good. They separated their 1 to 20 is one direction and 20 to 40 is another direction. It doesn't matter if you forget which is street and which is avenue, which is very easy to forget. And there's my analysis of my single axis. In fact, I was all ready to march over to BGC office and tell them what to do because they don't use addresses yet. And what do you know? I walked over there and they already have my system on their signs. I didn't have to tell them they're using my system. Isn't that great? And there's the car dealership. And they said, wow. So that just tells you that it's the only logical system is you just add 00 to these addresses. And here we are in Salt Lake City, Utah, and they don't even say 3rd Street at all, 4th Street. They just directly use the addresses as the street names. Isn't that amazing? So, okay, so my conclusions are, you don't want to just let these things naturally occur. You got to plan them right, because otherwise you're going to have a big headache fixing it up later. And OSM, let's get those address grids into the database so we can use them. Okay, what else we got here? And okay, our role as mappers, we just passively map things, or maybe we give a little feedback of things. It's like a feedback to the city council, say, you don't have addresses yet. I've got a good idea how you could do that. So let's just not just be passive mappers recording things. Let's also give a little feedback about how things could be done better. Thanks.
Dan, that was excellent. Thank you so much. I definitely got a lot out of that, and you got a few laughs, which is pretty good. So nice job on that one. So before I open it up to questions from Venulus, anybody in the room with a question? Yeah.
What's your advice to governments trying to use what three words to fix the addressing system? What's your advice to governments trying to use what three words?
You see, the Google Corporation, if you've been doing some Google mapping lately, you'll see they always offer this brilliant little Google address for everything, which is like QC123 something. And also we have this what three words thing. The problem is that's not going to help the person in the street, especially without a cell phone. So all our addresses should make sense without any electronics on your body. I want something that makes sense logically. It doesn't really have to be a grid. It just has to have some relation to the ground. It should be work even if there's a tornado. So,
yeah. Makes sense. Thank you. Going to Venulus now for a question. Have you had conversations with local people about this problem and the desire for mapping the lot numbers?
In fact, is a little problem is nobody really knows who's in charge of these addresses. And I'm going back to the Makati City Hall on Monday to get an answer around here. And see, actually these block numbers, okay, we should be grateful that there are lot and block numbers, and we shouldn't want to throw them away because they're not like familiar street addresses, but just we gotta make the best out of them. If they're still usable, and just as long as they're more available when you look them up, something like that.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, so our next most I suppose upvoted question in Venulus. Can this system be used in other countries?
Yeah. So, okay, my whole thing is all about rectangular grids today. Now, of course, rectangular cities are a little old-fashioned. Now let's see, what about a circular grid in some other country? Well, circular grids, it's not that easy. And the thing is to make the most get the most out of your numbers. For instance, you got 4 digits to work with. So you want to separate your north and south. So you do your best with what you got, and it's mainly what that country, see, the whole half of the world is like, we call it the old world. And in the old world, the streets are all like crooked. So it's can't use our fancy new world system there, but we at least we can do something more logical and try to get the best out of our number line.
All right, so we've got time for one more question. Anybody in the room with a question? Going once. Okay.
I'm coming from India, where there's absolutely no rectangular places. One of my ideas was to use the number of meters distance from some reference point. I'm not sure if what have you ever thought about something like that?
Yeah, in fact, that's a great system as long as you be real strict about it, and that's what we use in Taiwan and China. It's like as you go along, and then you take a right into a lane, and then you start numbering on that, and then you take another right, and then so you get a. The thing is, you gotta demand that they number consistently. They say, "Well, we don't need numbers. There's a highway interchange. Nobody's gonna build a house there." But you gotta keep on numbering, reserving exactly, because there's several things. You don't know if that interchange is gonna be there in 100 years, and also, during disasters, you won't be able to look at numbers on the side of the road. You have to look at your mile meter in your car. So, and then what about if that road gets shortened or rerouted? Well, you're certainly not going to, nobody's going to be very happy to change all the numbers just because your road is now a little shortened. So you use those Ks, like 3K plus 8, 879, 4K plus. So the main thing is, if you're a politician, you never want to change people's numbers because you're going to get voted out of office. So you got to figure out a permanent system, and that's not going to mess up when the road gets slightly changed.
Excellent. All right, everybody, give it up once more for Dan. That was awesome. Thank you, Dan.